All right, thank you. We're going to talk about Daniel awaiting the prince. Gabriel makes an appearance to Daniel. What is Gabriel known for? Well, he's known for his trumpet. He's also known for making important announcements. He is a messenger of the Most High God. And here he is named. There are various angels named in the Bible. The Archangel Michael, who is, as it were, the General Petraeus. Well, we don't want to compare him, I guess, to any earthly generals. A militant angel who is a sort of captain of the Lord's hosts, his spiritual army in heaven. And then there's Gabriel, who is the messenger angel who delivers very, very important news. And now Daniel is saddened. He has been fasting. He has been praying. He's been confessing the sins of his people. And suddenly he has a visitor, and the visitor is identified to him as the angel Gabriel. And Gabriel is going to appear again in the gospel according to St. Luke, where it says, "And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." So Gabriel has a very special kind of portfolio. He has a special kind of assignment. And one of the assignments that Gabriel has is preparing people for the coming of the Messiah. And this particular reference in prophecy is unlike any other prophecy of the Messiah in one respect. There's one respect in which this differs from all the others. Josephus, the historian, says Daniel's prophecy of the Messiah is unlike every other in one respect. We'll see what that is. You know, a lot of prophecies in the National Enquirer are not very impressive. I hope. Did any of you read that in the grocery line? You don't have to say. You got the Fifth Amendment. You don't have to talk about it. But, you know, Jean Dixon every year used to give prophecies, predictions. And she would, she'd be fairly accurate. For example, some major leader in the world would be deposed this next year. Some elder statesman in the world will die this year. There will be a Minnesota Gophers. Well, no, we won't do it. Yeah. All right. But these kind of general prophecies weren't too impressive. Daniel's prophecy here is unlike any other because it's a sort of on the going out on the limb. If it weren't told to him by God himself through Gabriel, it would really be going out on a limb. Let's just summarize this quickly. First of all, there's a prophecy of a prince. Prince means you have a royal lineage. Princes aren't elected. Presidents are elected. Members of Congress are elected. Princes are people who are born into that family. We've got Prince Charles, now Prince William apparently getting married. Prince William has a child. Prince William's child will be a prince. So all of a sudden we have a prince indicated. The prince is going to appear. The prince is talking in verse 25. And princes have realms. That is to say, we're probably not using this technically right, because kingdom is a place where a king rules. A principality is a place where a prince rules. But the fact that going with the prince's royal lineage goes a particular realm in which that prince has to do. And in addition to the royal lineage and the realm, princes are meant to reign. So the person who's coming here that is prophesied in the book of Daniel is a very specific kind of person. a prince. So when we see the royal lineage, we can check off whether he's qualified, not an imposter. A particular kind of kingdom he has or introduces. And a person who's meant to reign. So Gabriel says, there's a prince coming. Now, the second aspect is the place. Where is Daniel? Daniel is in Babylon. He's a graduate of the University of Babylon, Phi Beta Kappa. Well, he's been transported from Israel with the fall of Jerusalem, and he's been placed into this foreign environment called Babylon because he's talented and looks like he's got a lot of potential. Nebuchadnezzar has put him into his Babylon University to school him for potential leadership. They got a whole variety of Jews that have been transported to Babylon. It's good to have a Jew who knows something about the Jewish people who are now in Babylon as in a leadership position. He proves himself 10 times better than all the regular Babylonian pubas and counselors. And he survives through 4 different kings, all different. Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, or Darius the Mede, and Cyrus. But what he wonders about, as he is still in Babylon, the people are in captivity, is what's going to happen to God's chosen land and God's chosen people? Are we meant, because of our sins, to be in the penalty box forever? I mean, this isn't a 2-minute minor. This isn't even just a sort of 10-minute major. This is a 70-year penalty box situation where the seconds tick off awfully slowly while the people of Israel are out of their land, out of their regular culture, out of their regular language. What's going to happen to my people? He still has a loyalty to the people of God and to Jehovah, the God of Israel. What is going to happen? And here's a prince who's going to come. He's a coming prince. He has a particular country. And he's going to appear in a special city. The country, Israel. The city, Gabriel tells them, is that holy city of Jerusalem. So we've got a prophecy some almost 500 years before the coming of Jesus, that a prince is going to come and stand in Jerusalem. The prince to restore or build God's work in Jerusalem. The holy city is referenced. Now, so far, we have a unique prophecy, but a prophecy somewhat like the others in the Old Testament. Micah prophesies that the prince is going to be born in Bethlehem. Isaiah prophesies he's going to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and all our sins are going to be laid on him. There are a whole variety of prophecies in the Old Testament, but this one has a very, very specific uniqueness. And let's call it a prediction, which is really a prophecy in the Bible. And there's a special method that Daniel uses called weeks of years. This is a Hebrewism. Weeks of years. What is a week of years? Well, a week has 7 days. And so a week of years is 7 years. 1 week equals 7 years. And Gabriel is going to tell Daniel not simply about the coming of this prince, but when it's going to happen. You know, in the first century, one of the interesting things about the coming of Jesus was that there was a tremendous expectation of the coming of the Messiah. And people wondered, well, God maybe just led people to consider that a Messiah was coming. But it went all throughout that ancient world, so much so that the three wise men had a sense of expectancy and excitement that something was going to happen in the area of Jerusalem in Israel, that a king was going to be born. And they had such an excitement and expectation about it that they were ready to set off from an area probably close to Babylon, where Daniel became a sort of a legend for his wisdom and prophecies. And they set off following a star because they had a sense of excitement about a coming of a king. Herod, the king, the carnal king, the king who was an Edomite in background, who, if you ever go to Israel, you see some of the great palaces. He never had enough palaces. He was like Saddam Hussein. You know, Saddam Hussein only had 70 palaces. Herod stopped at 3 or 4, but they're lavish. He imported special spices for his fish dinners. He had a sauna. He had workout rooms. I mean, you go to Masada and you see this guy was pampered in every way, the flesh, and all over. He darted out with these. He was living a kind of a good life. You know, not bad. There was no one going to depose him. And suddenly he is worried about the coming of a king who might displace him. A king is born. He's worried about a baby. He's ready to wipe out everybody 2 years old and under in Bethlehem because he's worried. And there was a general sense in the world of excitement about the coming of some particular prince. In fact, the poet, the Latin poet Virgil, wrote a poem about 4 years before Christ's coming. And the poem has this vision of somebody coming from heaven to earth, a prince coming from heaven to earth. Now, Virgil, of course, was a Roman, without reading his Old Testament prophecies. But there's this general sense of excitement. And one of the reasons, I believe, for that excitement was that Daniel was out there talking about weeks of years and telling people how to do the math. How do you do the math? Well, Gabriel came. He flew swiftly. You had to wonder how they flew, huh? You know, one of the most amazing performances I ever saw was at the Los Angeles Olympics. At the opening exercise, I was sitting in the Coliseum where the Southern Cal has played. You know, kind of an old Coliseum, historic building. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden, a guy flew into the stadium during opening exercise. And he didn't have wings. I've never seen that before. I've seen stealth bombers come over Pasadena a couple years ago, the Penn State game. I was at the Rose Bowl, and all of a sudden, this huge shadow came over. That's pretty exciting. But here, this guy came with like this Flash Gordon kind of belt. And he came up over the side of the Coliseum. I couldn't believe my eyes. And he came up, and by the Olympic torch, which is on one end of the Coliseum, he just went, yeep, jump. That was pretty impressive. I've never seen that since. Apparently, 9 guys have tried that, and 8 of them have died. But, you know, it's kind of hard to control a couple jets on your, it's kind of better to have wings or something. Well, Gabriel came, and he flew, and he gave this particular, he caused to fly swiftly, he informed me, I like that. He informed me and talked with me and said, "Oh, Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth. I am come to show thee. Thou art greatly beloved." God shares his promises with those who are greatly beloved. "Therefore, understand the matter. Consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 70 weeks and 72 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall, even in troublous times. 70 weeks and 72 weeks. So you do the math. Not one of my strengths, but 70 weeks, 72, that's 3 times 20. That's 60. So 67 plus 2 is 69. So you got 69 69 weeks of years times 1 week, times 7. Okay. 7 times 63, 6 at 42, 483 years. So 483 years from the time of this command to the building, to the appearance of the Messiah. And interestingly enough, that puts us right early on in the first century when Jesus comes. So the difference of Daniel's prophecy is that he goes out on a limb and says so many number of years. Well, he doesn't go out on a limb. He's just reporting what Gabriel tells him. Gabriel says, I'm going to inform you what's going on. And he tells the exact number of years until the Messiah appears at Jerusalem. That's pretty spectacular. And that explains why there is such a fervency of excitement in Israel at about this time, and so many messianic expectations. You say, this is not Christians looking back years later and putting their own interpretation on things. In among the Jews, there was no doubt of these testimonies in the Old Testament that a Messiah was being prophesied. This person who is of everlasting days. He has an everlasting past. He's not some great talented person who's going to be born. He is from everlasting. And this person is going to be born in 483 years from a Babylonian command that people can go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. So here we have it, a particular prediction that gives an exact time for the coming of Christ and what the motive is for the prince to be coming. If God has given us an absolutely certain prediction of the coming Messiah hundreds of years before he comes, we can also trust what the Messiah or prince came to do. And what did the prince come to do? He said, 70 weeks are determined upon the pity upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression. Now, finish in Hebrew means to pay totally for transgression. Every sin we do has a price tag on it. And that price tag is a little too expensive. No, none of us wants to pay for that price tag. Because the price tag of sin is death. The soul that sinneth it shall die. So you put that lust and that lie and that laziness. You put all these different sins, bitterness, anger, cheating, stealing. Put all those sins in your little grocery cart. They all have a price tag. And people can't pay the price tag because you don't have the currency of heaven to pay for your sins. You can't pay for your sins by not buying any more sin. You say, I'm going to be really sincere this year. I'm not going to, and therefore all my past sins will be forgiven. Try telling that to a judge. I drove drunk this year, but don't punish me because I'm not going to drive drunk next year. That doesn't work.